That's strange.
What?
Where'd you find all these computer people anyway?
What are you talking about?
I've got 24 PCs in my department, and my people hardly touch them.
You don't have the wrong people. You have the wrong computers.
Hello!
Oh my gosh, I'm hoarse. You hear that? That was terrible. Here we go, let's try this again. Hello! And welcome to the Colcast E-Best 30 plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Erfan Aloyd. Erfan Aloyd, joining me today.
I have the same trouble with my own name.
You and I are going to be like this all show. You might have spotted him in Santa's sleigh. He's training for his future job. The bearded, beautiful Buster Kine is here.
Oh, hello.
Hey, Buster. Also joining us, someday he'll be buried in a pure white casket. A creation of Johnny Ive and Mark Newson. It will no doubt feature chamfered edges and a 14 megapixel FaceTime camera. Leander King is here.
A camera? What do you want a camera for?
FaceTiming with Leander from the grave. Yeah. Oh, you there? Oh, Leander. Oh, you're rotten so beautifully.
It'd be like one of those things they used to bury people with a piece of string, right, and a bell on top on the on the grave in case they weren't dead. Yeah.
Did they really?
Yeah. Like during the plague years and stuff, I've heard that.
What were they called, Buster? Do you remember?
I have no idea.
So if you woke up and you're like, oh man, cool, I'm not dead. Yeah. Where am I?
Gotta ring the bell to get somebody to dig you out.
So how it was the bell inside the casket?
No, it was mounted up on top of the gravestone.
Oh. Can you imagine if you're walking through a cemetery and all of a sudden this gravestone starts ringing at you? And you're like, did you hear something? And you're like, great.
Crikey, I'm setting you off. Sorry.
Yeah, so Leander and I are, speaking of the plague, are both fighting off our own versions of the Black Plague. I'm a little further ahead than you. I'm like 85% better, but you sound like you might need to call 911 at any moment to come pick you up. I'll tell Johnny to have that casket ready for you. Can you imagine that the casket Johnny Ive is going to be buried in? It's probably going to be exactly as I describe. It's going to be pure white. It's going to have chamfered edges. It will no doubt have like wireless charging. It'll have an OLED display. Yeah. What's that?
You won't be able to see the hinges.
It'll have be on the inside.
A curved, beautifully curved top.
Yeah, it'll be curved glass, like at the spaceship campus.
And aluminum.
And it will have
aluminium,
some,
I mean.
That's right, thank you. And it will have some, you know, artisan wood on the bottom, you know, made in America by some factory that's been making caskets for 400 years. Right. It's going to be a beautiful wake. How did we get here? Let's see. So we're going to be talking about our favorite gadgets of 2016 at the later on in this episode. This is probably one of my most anticipated segments that we do during this time of the year. We get to look back on all the stuff we've reviewed, which has been numerous, and pick out our favorite stuff. I've got a short little list, and some of it you've probably heard before. In fact, if you listen often to the show, you might be able to guess what one of my picks might be. I know Buster picked it right away. But I have some picks on here that I think will surprise you. And, of course, Leander and Buster also have their picks. We're also going to be talking some more about the AirPods. Leander got his hands on those. And I'm eager to hear what you think. The reviews have been surprisingly positive on AirPods. And, dude, they're going bonkers. You can't get them anywhere. In fact, I got a little story to tell you guys that just made my day. We can talk about all that. Before we do, let me just give a little short blurb about Cult Cloth supporting this episode, cultcloth.co. If you need a way to keep your gadgets sparkling clean, may I recommend you check out cultcloth.co. A wonderful product, if I do say so myself. You will be surprised, I really mean that, at how well they clean your iPhone, your iPad, the keyboard on your Mac, your Apple Watch, any Apple gadget you have. You swipe them across the surface, and there's nothing left behind but sparkling glass, plastic, aluminum. You can get 20% off your order. This is the first time we've ever done a discount code, and it will be expiring here in the next, I think, few days. Use code JETBLACK at checkout. You'll save 20% off any order at cultcloth.co. Leander, we've also got the Cult of Mac store to promote. Do you guys have any products left? I think everything's sold out.
Oh, everything was sold out.
is there any point in even all promoting it anymore? Everything's gone.
Well, we've got a whole. We're adding a bunch of new stock. In fact, unfortunately, we haven't quite got it all added yet. But we're working with some new suppliers, including this really this Italian company that makes really beautiful Italian leather watch straps, which is difficult to get here in the States.
Mm-hmm.
A French company that does some batik ones, which are going to be adding. So we've got a whole bunch of stuff adding.
What happened to the genuine baby kangaroo strap that we were talking about? It had the little pocket in there. When are we going to get that?
Well, we have some exotic leathers, I hope, to be adding, some snake skin, some crocodile skin.
Fantastic.
I don't know. We were a little bit, and there is a kangaroo, leather band, which is actually really soft. It's really, really soft. I'm a little conflicted about these though, because, you know, I don't know whether it's not my personal taste.
Me either. I don't know, man. Have you ever seen kangaroos, like videos of kangaroos fighting each other? Those things are vicious. They're not like little Bambi creatures.
No,
did
right.
Did you see that video where that guy had a kangaroo attacking his dog?
Yeah.
He just punched right in the face. Yeah.
The kangaroo had the dog in a headlock, which is kind of...
Dude!
Which is totally strange, isn't it? When did kangaroos do headlocks? Yeah, and then he went up and clocked it, and it was so shocked. It just sort of... It was bouncing on its...
Those things are unbelievably ripped. They have like six packs. Like, I saw a picture on the internet years ago of a muscular kangaroo, and I thought for sure, oh, this is photoshopped, right? But then you saw that video of that kangaroo that had the dog in the headlock, and that thing was yoked. It had a six pack. It made its pecs bounce up and down, and then it winked at the camera and grabbed that dog in the headlock. I was like, look at it, dude. It's like a boxer. It's performing.
He didn't box back very well, though, did he?
I think he was shocked
of a fight
because he was like, "There's no way this dude's gonna punch me. I'm gonna kill this dude."
Was the thing fake though? Because there was some speculation the whole thing was fake. Because didn't they come out with a DVD of their trip a few days later?
Oh, did they? I don't know. I know they figured out that guy worked at like the Australian Zoo, and so a bunch of people were trying to get him fired for like, you know, punching a kangaroo, which may not be the best course of action when you're a employee of a zoo, but then he didn't get fired. So I figured that after that whole situation, I was like, oh, this must be legit. Like, this guy actually did punch this kangaroo.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I guess if something's attacking your dog, you just kind of go into pure instinct mode and you go over there and try to rescue it. Because otherwise, you know, you're going to run from a kangaroo looking like that, especially when it starts bouncing its pecs at you. Anyway, we keep meandering one way and another. You can go check out the strap we made out of that kangaroo at store.cultivmac.com. And there are a plethora of other beautiful and unique Apple Watch accessories for you to check out. Stuff that I guarantee you've never seen before. There was stuff in there I had never seen before.
Yeah, we got some really nice bands from Duke Designs in Hong Kong. They're stainless steel. We restocked some of the stuff that was difficult to get, the stainless steel ones, and they're really beautiful. I mean, they're really, really nicely made, and they're half the price of the stuff you can get from Apple.
That's the big thing, is you're getting premium quality products at a price that's far less than what Apple charges for their premium accessories. So check it out, store.cultofmac.com. Let's start with AirPods. I know we've been talking about these a lot lately, and I still, unfortunately, have not gotten my hands on them. And Leander, you have. I want to hear what you think. But I want to follow up on a story that I told last week about my insider way of getting your AirPods. Well, for those of you that listened to the last episode, I told you what you got to do is call Apple customer service, tell them to check the stock for you on your behalf, and then call you once they find stock, and then reserve them at the store that has them in stock. Well, I never heard from that lady again, the lady who offered to do that for me. Yeah, not a peep from her. And I can't say that I blame her personally, because I have gone to my Apple store every day this week, and they have not gotten a single shipment in of AirPods. Mm. So I think the AirPods are they're in such insanely high demand that my Apple store hasn't gotten them yet, and that's the reason why she probably hasn't called me. I've been trying everything to get my hands on these things. I ordered from Best Buy. I heard that...
You're going to love this.
Did you just get yours willy-nilly? Did you walk into your store and get them?
Well, yeah, basically. I got them really, really painlessly. And not only that, I've got three pairs. I've got to return two.
What? I'll buy a pair from you, dude.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Are you
only $400. Yeah.
$400. Oh, yeah. Yeah, not without Leander's markup, of course.
Right.
I like the way you do business.
I was just looking at Twitter. Like, I was dying in bed. Like, you know, really, really sick. And someone on Twitter said, you know, constantly checking this link. You know, finally paid off. My local store finally got some. This is like 9 o'clock. On the 23rd, so 2 days before Christmas, mm-hmm. 9 p.m. you know, Pacific time. So I followed the link, and it was, you know, for the Apple Store app for mm-hmm. the AirPods, mm-hmm. and it said, you know, check availability for your zip code. So I typed it in, and it brought up all of the local Bay Area stores, you know, and there's probably like half a dozen or more, 8 stores, all empty. It said, you know, shipping February, available February, available February. And then the Union Square one, it said available now. I was like,
wow.
What?
You have no idea how lucky you got.
I bought them, yeah, in the app. And it said, yeah, you can pick them up within an hour. And I did it again and got a second pair.
And then somehow,
I don't even know how I did this. I ordered a pair online too. And they just showed up at the office here yesterday.
How long ago did you order them?
I don't know. I can't remember.
I have been checking numerous times a day. I've been checking iStock now. I've been checking on the app. And my stores are just getting nothing. And I went into my store on Wednesday. And I was there in the morning, you know. And there's always like 30 people lining up to get into the Apple store, first of all. It's like, what are you people all doing here?
Right.
It's like 9 in the morning. Every single day, there's a group of people waiting to get in. And so I go in and I'm like, look, dude, bro, I've been here every single day for 3 days in a row now. Do you know if you're going to get any in? He's like, oh, man, what you got to do is check in the app. And I'm like, that's what I've been doing.
Yeah, right.
And he said when we get some in, that's what everyone does. And they sell out in 3 to 4 minutes. And then so there's no way to get them. So well, they are showing up, you know, in the app if the store does have them. They just never have them.
I saw some dude on Twitter. He apparently was using the app to check out what the delivery times were for his local store. So he was looking for products that were out of order. And then when they became available, he could work out when exactly the truck was showed up at the store.
What?
In the afternoon. I know.
How did he figure that out?
Well, I've got to dig into it because there weren't that many details, right? It was written by his wife. And so it said, you know, oh, my husband's got a pair of AirPods. This is how he did it. And she said that he was obsessively checking to see when they became available. And he worked out the route that this truck was taking to visit like all of the local 3 or 4 or 5 stores in the local area. And so he had the exact times of when these things were going to show up. And so he would hit the store like an hour before he anticipated the truck was going to show up. And there he was waiting, you know, for them to be brought out from the back from the storeroom.
Everyone's got their own formula for how to get AirPods right now. The other thing I was told to try was to buy them from Sprint online. So I tried giving Sprint an order and went through just fine. And then they sent me an email and they said, oh, we got your order and we expect to have stock this week. And I was like, sweet. Finally, I'm able to lock some of these down. And then I get an email today that says we've had to cancel your order. And I was like, what? So I call them. And the customer service agent, it takes him like 10 minutes to even find my order. He has absolutely no idea how to help me whatsoever. He takes my order number. And he's like, well, what's your Sprint account information? And I'm like, I don't have a Sprint account information. I'm not a Sprint customer. And he said, well, I can't help you because you're not giving me your you know, access code for your Sprint account. And I'm like, dude, I'm not a Sprint account holder. I just bought these AirPods online. I just need to know why you canceled my order. And he's like, well, I don't know what to do. I'm sorry. And I said, well, you need to let me talk to your manager then. So he says, well, hold on. Let me check into this for you some more. So he puts me on hold and he comes back and he said, okay, I figured out what the problem is. Sprint doesn't allow you to order a product from their website if you are not a Sprint customer. You can't order a product that costs more than $100. So they charge my credit card. And then a day later or so, they canceled my order and they refunded me because apparently if you're not a Sprint customer, you can't order anything from them that costs more than $100. You have to go into the store.
Ah, it sucks.
I mean, this is almost 2017 Sprint. Who does that? So I'm back to square one with my fingers crossed, hoping that Best Buy fulfills my order. Well, isn't this ridiculous?
Well, if you want a pair, I've got, you know, I'll send
them. Yeah, yeah, I'll buy them from you. I'll buy them from you. Meanwhile, Leander casually saunters in to the Apple app and just buys three pairs.
Yeah.
This is crazy. So did it let you buy three at once, or was it just...
Well, two. I bought two in a row. And then the third one, I
it
sounds ridiculous.
Oh, it was your previous order.
Because I made a couple of orders in the app. The first order, you know, I talked about this a couple of weeks ago. You know, I made an order in the app. Well, I thought I completed an order in the app, and it actually didn't go through when they were first announced, when it said they were first available.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it did. I mean, maybe these are ones that I ordered online. I'll have to go dig into it. You know, I have to go find the email to see when I actually did order these. Because I don't remember ordering. And then when I found out when it didn't work, I tried to reorder them again in the app. And I don't think it went through. So it might have been the second time. I know this sounds ridiculous, but...
I'm beside myself. I cannot believe how easy it was for you. And yet, like, I've been trying to, you know, do this for
Well, you know, we figured this out, didn't we? They were prioritizing the stores before the holidays.
Because, yes, I think that they are. I think that they were, but now... It seems like a lot of the stores just aren't getting them, and they seem to be focusing on online orders only.
Well, yeah, now they probably changed back again. They probably changed the strategy back again.
Yes. Oh, maybe that's why you were able to get them before Christmas, because they're like, yeah, they were probably just restocking the stores constantly to have enough for people to buy them for Christmas, and now they're like, okay, Christmas is over. Screw all you guys, and you didn't order them online.
And the Union the Square store here in San Francisco is, you know, like their big showpiece store now, right? Their big flagship store.
I see. So yeah, they probably are giving them stock before everyone else. Well, if you're trying to get some, I think the smart way to do it is to go into a Sprint store and order them. They said if you go into a store, you can buy them. And they'll ship them to you. And, you know, Sprint is shooting themselves in the foot. They're not letting anyone buy them online. And, you know, no one has Sprint, so their customers clearly aren't buying them. So you could just go into a Sprint store and probably get some in a week or two. I mean, I think right now going through Apple is the worst way to do it. You're probably going to be waiting forever. Best Buy seems to be getting regular stocks, regular reshipments. And same with Sprint. So if you're trying to get some of these things, I would go that route. Okay, Leander, enough about that. How do you like yours? You got yours now. These things are getting great reviews. Everyone is trying to get their hands on them. How do you like them so far? Do they live up to the hype?
Yeah, they're fantastic. They're really, really great.
What do you like about them so far? What surprised you and delighted you about them so far?
I was surprised how good they sounded. They really, really sound to me great. Really, really great.
Better than the AirPods?
They're much better than the AirPods.
Interesting.
Yeah. You know, there's a big caveat there, which is like I tend to say a lot of things sound great when Lewis, Golden Ears Lewis, who's our colleague here in the office, who's a professional musician, and
is Lewis a professional musician? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's been a musician forever, and so I turn over the listening test to him, and he said they sounded good for what they were, you know, like for their size. And for their price, he said, you know, good. They're really good. They're good. But, you know, he said they're not as good as like a good pair of audiophile earphones. But he's had me put on audiophile earphones. And, you know, I know this sounds pathetic, but I cannot tell the difference.
Well, I think most people can't tell the difference.
Yeah.
I mean, especially if you're not listening to high resolution music. If you're just, you know, streaming from Spotify and you don't have a paid account, you know, you're just streaming at their base level. I don't think that having high-end earphones is really going to make that much of a difference for you. I mean, I think it certainly will make a difference, but it depends on the environment you're listening in. It depends on a lot of things.
Yeah. You know, I can hear the difference between a pair of really good headphones or earbuds and a pair of really bad ones.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, that's as big as a distinction. We've had listening tests here, you know, like in the office, and we've got a whole range of different headphones. We've got some really expensive ones, you know, some Bowers & Wilkins ones, which he thinks are the best ones that that we have here available to us, you know, and then everything in between. And so... you know, he comes down, he puts, you know, he says the sound stage and the pop and the liveliness of it, you know, things like that. Honestly, to my ears, I couldn't tell. I mean, to my ears, the AirPods sound fantastic. They really sound beautiful. And I like the convenience of them. You know, obviously, without the wires, they're super easy to put in and pull out. And the functionality is, like, really kind of delightful. You know, they're so easy to pair. The whole thing is like was a really great experience. You know, like pairing a pair of Bluetooth earphones can sometimes be a bit of a puzzle. And especially if you have a whole bunch of, like, we have a whole, I've got a whole bunch of different Bluetooth things now that connect automatically, you know, so I get in the car and it connects to the stereo. And so I'm trying to listen to a pair of earbuds and I'm, you know, it takes a second to figure out, oh no, okay, it's connected to this. You got to disconnect and then connect it to your earbuds instead. Anyway, cut long story short, you know, like as soon as you open up the thing, it pops up a little box on your phone showing you the charge, how much they have left, you know, and the battery level for them and for the charging case. Mm-hmm. And, you know, taking one out and having the music pause so you can listen to what people are saying. You know, the whole thing is just really nice, really, really nicely done. It's a beautiful integration. You know, it's like this is what Apple's really good at. You know, the whole it's a return to the whole it just works. Philosophy.
How's the battery life been? Because I know some people, I think a small minority of people, or a vocal minority, I should say, have been complaining about battery life. Have you had any issues?
No, none at all. And okay. And there were reports, you know, that the charging case was mysteriously discharging.
Yeah, exactly.
Overnight. No, I had it lying around for you know, for the last couple of nights. I've been checking in the morning, and it's been returned. You know, and it hasn't lost any charge at all. And the battery life's been great. You know, it lasts for hours and hours. So. And then you pop them back in the case, it charges them right back up. It's, you know, it's really nicely done.
Man, I'm so psyched for these. I just keep getting more and more excited. They just seem like everything I've ever wanted in earphones, except for the look. You know,
yeah,
have you had any self-conscious moments walking around looking like you're wearing pearl earrings?
I just had to take them out. My first foray into the public, I took them out because I was too self-conscious to wear them. I haven't seen anyone else wearing them.
Buy them. They're not available anywhere.
I don't want
Meanwhile, here I don't you want are with like a whole me, freaking yeah. Bedroom full of them.
Right, I know. I've got one in each orifice and a couple up my nose too.
Okay, well, just for the record, I don't want to buy any of the ones that have been in any of your Aurify. I want a clean, fresh pair.
All right,
I'll be able to tell. Believe me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I can manage that.
Oh yeah, I just can't wait. And of course, Tim Cook was on the news recently saying how well AirPods were doing, and everyone's trying to buy them. And you know, I believe him. In my experience, it's been so hard to get these things. I know Apple often has supply restrictions or constrictions, you know, when they release a new product, but this is pretty severe. This is kind of like iPhone 6 level.
Right.
Where you literally cannot find them anywhere. And there's been several instances where they have not been available at any store in the world because they're completely sold out everywhere. You know, just hearing you say that you think the sound quality is better than the AirPods, that's my biggest thing. I think the one point of contention I really had with the AirPods was for $160, it's hard to spend that knowing they have the same sound quality as AirPods. And you're not the first person I've heard say that the sound quality actually is better. Some people, there's been different, you know, opinions on how much better it is. Some people say it sounds just a little bit better. Some people say it actually sounds significantly better. He sounds like you're kind of somewhere in the middle. But just hearing Lewis say they sound good, from Lewis, that's high praise.
Glowing review, right.
Yeah.
Because he pretty much hates all earphones, doesn't he? He's like you with movies.
Yeah, he only liked one pair, which I think were the X2 Jaybirds.
Really? He liked those ones?
I think so, yeah. We'd have to get him on to confirm. You know, there were some other Bluetooth earbuds, which I don't want to mention, but they're very similar in design to Apple's AirPods, and they were clearly much, much worse. You know, they were clearly not as good. They sounded really muddy, and the bass was weak.
Yeah.
The AirPods really sound like bright and clear distinction. You can hear it, you know, like they've got good bass, they've got good mid-tones, and the treble sound really nice too. I thought they were really, really well-balanced, really good soundstage, really beautiful and clear.
Heck yeah. I'm excited. Okay, well, we've talked enough about AirPods. I know it's been the hot topic for the last 2 weeks, but man, people really seem to be interested in AirPods. So
yeah, we've got to paint them black, though. I was researching how to get them, make them black.
Mm-hmm. You're going to paint yours?
I don't want to because I know I'm going to come out with black ears.
Well, not only that, but like, what if like the paint comes off like in your ears?
Yeah.
You know, like, what are you going to use? I doubt it's going to be non-toxic.
Yeah, right. I'm going to get the most toxic paint I can find. Put it on. So I was researching. There are some people who sell stickers for them, and then there's a company that does little tiny leather socks.
What?
I know, they look kind of ridiculous, but and it sort of covers up the stalks a little bit. And
oh yeah, because that's going to make them look better. Our tiny contrast stitched leather socks.
Yeah,
that's going to make them look way better. What's the purpose of the socks?
Well, you know, to change the color, to make them a little less, you know, visible, to make them a little less white. And we were debating as well, why did Apple make them white? You know, and obviously, I think it's because, you know, the iconic nature of the of their white earbuds.
Yes.
You know, they want these to be noticeable. They want people to see them.
Yeah, and they look premium.
Right. But then, of course, but then, you know, they look like fangs, don't they? They look like Dracula's fangs sticking out of your ear. And they're a little bit too, you know, noticeable for my taste. Like, I definitely wanted to make them less conspicuous.
Just color them with a Sharpie.
Well, you know, but then I know the Sharpie's going to come off because it's white, you know, it's shiny white polycarbonate. So
yeah,
it's not going to stick on there. I did. I got some Sharpies here. I'll do it now and I'll let you know.
Yeah, just do them like, you know, purple or green or something. Make it festive if you're going to make them a different color. All right, so we talk about all the ways Apple disappointed us in 2016. Do we want to talk about this?
Well, okay, sure. I mean, I'll play devil's advocate because I wasn't that disappointed, actually.
I don't feel like I was disappointed either. I mean, I was disappointed in some ways, and I think it's good to at least mention some of these things because I do feel like Apple had a rough year. And whether or not they had a rough year because their products haven't lived up to expectations or that's just the perception, there is definitely I feel like there is a significant amount of people out there who believe that Apple may be heading in the wrong direction. And Leander, you were saying that some were saying this might be Apple's golden year drawing to a close. You know, like the end of the golden era for Apple. Because right. they've had quite a run ever since the iPhone came up. They've just been going gangbusters ever since that first device came out. And so let's run through some of these reasons, and we can just kind of touch on them. And, you know, next episode, we're going to do all the things we want to see Apple do better in 2017. So we'll offer the contrasting side of this. But let me run through these reasons, and you guys can tell me what you think. Well, this first one's kind of lame. Declining revenue. 2016. Well, I know
unless you're
you guys
a shareholder,
are pretty bummed
you don't
about
care.
That.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Most people don't care about this. Lack of love for the Mac.
I would
Hard
say
to argue this one.
Yeah, for sure. That the Macs got screwed this year. If you're wanting a great Mac this year, you're gonna have to wait till 2018.
2018. Damn.
2018.
Dude. Yeah.
I mean,
you're really
yeah.
pushing it out.
I'm not too hopeful that 2017's Macs are gonna be that much better. Because the Intel chips and everything are pretty crappy this coming year, too.
Oh, any thoughts, Leander?
That's a bummer. Yeah, I've been playing around with the MacBooks, and I liked them. I really think the MacBook Pros are really, really beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I know they're going to make trade-offs, right? And so there's been a lot of complaints about the battery and the speed and the power. But I don't know, if you can sort of push that to the back of your mind and ignore that. It's a really, really beautiful piece of hardware. And the touch bar, I think, is fantastic. The touch bar really looks really, you know, really, really great. And, you know, the big caveat is I haven't sat down and had to work on it and had to, you know, do anything like productive with it yet. But, you know, just playing around in the store with, you know, opening up web pages and seeing all the browser tabs, you know, represented in the touch bar. You know, scrolling through that and choosing a tab is a much better way of doing it than it is doing it on the screen, funny enough, you know, with a mouse or with a cursor. So I have high hopes for it. I think it's like a lovely piece of hardware. And, you know, although, the big caveat is that I haven't actually tried to use it for work yet. I think all the haters, you know, the hating on it, I think is a little bit, it's not necessarily that fair.
It's all relative, isn't it? I know we have a lot of listeners who are coming from like really early machines, 2008, 2009. And for them, this machine, the MacBook Pro with Touch Bar, was a revelation because they had waited so long to update that this machine was everything they could have wanted and more. And it was a huge speed increase for them. It's a little less exciting if you're coming from a 2013 or newer. And we've talked about this before, so I don't want to beat a dead horse here. But I mean, for me, looking at the new MacBook Pro, it's just not really that much faster than what I currently have. And yes, a lot of the bells and whistles they included this year are cool, and the touch bar looks useful, and I would like to have it. But it's not a compelling enough feature for me to drop the higher prices that they're asking and spend $2,800 on a MacBook Pro that... it's by and large about as fast as the one that I have now, computationally speaking, even though the GPU is faster. So I do think it was a disappointing year for Macs, if I'm just being honest with you guys. I don't know if, I mean, we kind of have like the question, is Apple's golden era coming to a close? I don't necessarily think that's true. I just think that they had a year of evolution, and we were expecting some revelatory devices, especially in the world of Macs, and we didn't get those, and that was a major bummer. And I'm hoping that that's going to happen next year, but if not, I'll probably end up getting a brand new MacBook Pro next year anyway, once they've come down in price a little bit. Because if these MacBook Pros were cheaper, I think I would be a little bit more enthusiastic about them. And they're also really expensive,
yeah,
since they hiked up the prices. iPhone 7, I think this is the same story as MacBook Pro. We were expecting something a little bit more grand. Well, I should say we were hoping for something more grand with a bigger change in design than what we got. So we essentially got the iPhone 6, the iPhone 6S this year. I wouldn't say it was disappointing.
The 6SS.
That's
a bit weird.
Yeah. That's what they were going to call it internally, but they realized that was bad press, so they changed it to iPhone
Trump
7.
Era, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So they changed it, and now it's the iPhone 7. And I love my iPhone 7. It's a great phone. Is it the phone that I wanted? No. But it's, I mean, I'm gonna go full on Leander right here. It's the best phone Apple's ever made. Yeah, I love the right. Dual camera. And the screen is amazing. And what other new features? I think I just ran through all the new features. That was it.
The new home button.
The new home button. Actually, I really do like the new home button.
Yeah, the home button's great.
I like the shallow clicks on it. That's actually one of my favorite features. And I really do like the dual lens camera, and I use the zoom in feature quite frequently. So I'm really happy with the iPhone 7. I know, Leander, what do you think? I think I just expressed your sentiments, didn't I?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, ditto, right? So
yeah.
I
Buster?
Think, yeah.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, go on.
Buster, what do you think?
I didn't buy an iPhone 7, so it obviously isn't that cool.
Well, I think that says it right there, right? You're just like, it's kind of like my current iPhone.
Yeah.
But
I might upgrade in a bit, but I don't know.
Do you think you're going to upgrade and not get the iPhone 8?
Yeah, I don't know. I need a plus size iPhone just because it would be nice for a couple things, but I would rather wait for the 8. But, you know, maybe the 8's not going to be awesome either, so.
Maybe the 8 won't be great.
Yeah.
We'll have to wait and see. I do have high hope for the iPhone 8. I think they're going to make some serious changes to the iPhone line. And this product has just gotten so mature. I feel like Apple's having a hard time making big changes every 2 years. They seem to just be getting to a point where they're going to be iterating more often and not creating some drastically new product.
Yeah.
It's getting harder for them to do it, I think. And so it will be interesting to see what they do in 2017. And we can talk about that next week. Apple Watch Series 2 was the new Apple Watch this year. I didn't buy one. I stuck with my original Apple Watch. Leander, I think you did too, right?
No. I bought one.
Oh, you bought the new one?
Yeah.
Would you say it's a compelling purchase over the original?
Yeah, I think it's much better. It's much faster. The waterproofing is a big improvement.
Mm-hmm.
The GPS, of course, you know, if you're going to be using that. Of course, I never leave the house, so that's not that useful for me. But, I think it's one of my favorite gadgets. I really love the Apple Watch, and I think this was a meaningful update. Of course, you know, if you already owned an Apple Watch, I think people are obviously, you know, they're making the same judgments that you are, which is like, you know, is it really worth dropping, buying a new one just for a couple of features? Do I really need that stuff? But, you know, if you're coming new to it, I think it's a really great gadget.
Yeah, if you're coming to it new, then certainly it's, I think it's probably the best smartwatch on the market.
Oh, easily. Probably, without a doubt.
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, it's definitely a good watch. I still am not totally sure if smartwatches are going to be a thing in 5 years. I know Apple's trying to make them a thing, but I feel like Apple is in this strange, they're in this strange zone, and it's kind of the same zone they're in with the Apple TV, where they're trying to make something happen, but they're having a hard time realizing their vision for the product. And so they are kind of in limbo with their product. The product is useful, but it's not really as useful as I feel that Apple was trying to make it. And so I'm not sure there is a compelling reason to buy an Apple Watch yet for most people. And the same with the Apple TV. I mean, the Apple TV, I feel like we had these high hopes of Apple's vision of the future of television, and it was going to be all about apps. And then they delivered us an Apple TV, which I love the new Apple TV. It has the best interface of any device that I've used on a television. But Apple's vision of apps has kind of fizzled, in my opinion. I mean, the app market for the Apple TV has languished. There's not really anything useful in there. There's a bunch of crappy games, and then there's the same apps that you would be able to get on virtually any other piece of hardware that connects to your TV. There's the Netflixes, the Hulus, we don't get the Amazon Instant Video.
Right, the only really useful one, yeah.
Yeah, and then there's Plex, but you can get those apps on virtually any hardware that connects to your TV. So I wouldn't say that the Apple TV does anything extraordinarily compelling yet, aside from, and I need to double check this because it's been a while since I've researched this, but aside from enabling HomeKit to work on your network or off your network, so via the new Home app, I can control all of my lights and everything, anything that's HomeKit enabled, from anywhere in the world. And if you don't have an Apple TV, I don't think that you can do that unless you have an iPad and you set up your iPad to work in that capacity. But I don't think that is as straightforward as just doing it via an Apple TV. So that is one of the most useful functions of the Apple TV. And the interface is amazing. I use the Apple TV for almost all my TV watching now. And it's
and you're complaining about it?
Well, I'm complaining about it because I feel like it's doing basically what my Xbox One does, just a little bit better.
Yeah, but I don't want to go buy an Xbox One. So for somebody like me, it's awesome.
But you could use a Roku, and Rokus are cheaper.
I don't know. I like the Apple TV. I just hate the remote. It's just the worst thing ever. Other than that, it's great.
You hate the remotes.
Oh,
visceral.
I loathe the remote. It's the worst thing ever, man. Like the both sides of it. You don't know which one you don't know when you're touching the touch sensitive side. You accidentally hit it all the time, and it's so damn small. You always lose it. Forget who's got the remote.
It is easy to lose. It's like a stick of gum.
Go.
It's so and it's so smooth, right? I mean, it falls between your cushions so easily. I don't despise the remote as much as you. I've actually gotten used to it. I do think some of the control mechanisms are a little bit confusing. Like pressing menu to go back is kind of weird. But overall, I think I would say I like it. I don't love it, but I mean, so you take a step back and you look at all the products Apple released in 2016, and people are saying there's been a lack of innovation this year. And I have to say, if I'm being honest with you guys, I know people have different opinions. I see the arguments, and I think there is some validity in that opinion that Apple really hasn't hit anything out of the park in a while. Right. And we've grown so accustomed to Apple releasing these amazing salvatory new products every year or two. Apple's biggest products, iPad, iPhone, they have been slowing down and have become these mature products that just don't have major updates, exciting updates that often anymore.
There wasn't any Apple product this year that was exciting in any way, I don't think.
I would say the AirPods product for me was the AirPods.
Yeah, and that's it. Like, and they barely even got those out in time for 2016.
Right.
So it was just like everything was just like, oh, yeah, we updated it, We put a touch bar on it. That sums up
Apple's year. Yeah. Oh yeah, we updated it.
We updated it. It's great. You're gonna love it. It's the best we've ever done. I know.
They didn't update a lot of their Macs.
Yeah, the Mac Pro. The iPads didn't. You know, they launched the iPad Pro, the smaller one, but they didn't get anything amazing. You know.
So it's just been a weird year for Apple, I think. Did we lose Leander, or is he asleep?
No, I'm sorry. I was trying to take a photo. I sharpened my AirPods, and I'm trying to take a photograph of him.
Leander is writing a full-on AirPods review right. as we do this. By the way, are you wearing them right now, Leander?
No. I got a pair of regular headphones on.
Oh, okay. I wonder how well they work for... Have you used them with your Mac?
Yeah, I did it yesterday. Yeah, I was listening with the Mac. Yeah, fine.
And they worked fine. The Bluetooth stayed connected, no drops or anything.
No. But I'm sitting right in front of the iMac, you know, so I'm only about a foot away from it.
Well, that's still pretty good because every time I've tried to use Bluetooth headphones with my Mac, I always have interruptions.
Oh, really?
You know, artifacts. Yeah, I've never been able to get it to work reliably.
Huh.
Anyway, so that's what we think about Apple's year. You are welcome to have a different opinion. In fact, if you think Apple had an amazing year, I would love to hear why you think that and what are your expectations for Apple in 2017. You can tweet at us. You can visit us on Reddit. In fact, we'll have a after show post about this pinned to the top of the cultcast.reddit.com where you can tell us what you think. I'm genuinely curious to hear what you guys think. I think the big question is, Leander, I'm going to shoot this your way. Do you think this is the end of Apple's golden era?
No, we think it's ridiculous.
Is their stock going to crash and burn on January 1st, 2017?
No, nowhere near. I think, it's hard to say, but I think we'll look back on this and this is one of Apple's quiet periods, isn't it, where they iterate on their products. And I think, I'm sitting in front of an iMac now, which I think the design is at least a decade, isn't it, 10 years old. And it is an astonishing computer. It really is a beautiful, beautiful computer with a fantastic screen. It's super fast, but it has the same form factor, and I think that drives people crazy. And the same is true for the iPhone and a bunch of their other products. You know, it's the best. They always say this. Even they say it themselves, don't they? This is the best, you know, Macs we've ever done, the best iPhone we've ever done. And the lack of a change of, you know, big features, big tentpole features or big new tentpole features, like wireless charging. Have you read the rumors about that, by the way?
No, I haven't.
Oh, that looks fantastic. We should definitely discuss that.
You mean for the next version of the iPhone?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've talked about that in previous shows. Maybe we can work that in next week about how it will be able to beam the power right to your pocket.
Yeah.
Right next to your giblets and radioactivize. Is that a word?
Yeah. But still, your phone will always be charged.
Yeah, your phone will be charged, and so will your giblets.
Your body's glowing. Yeah.
I haven't had to take my Viagra in weeks. I feel great. Okay, well, I don't want to bum you guys out. That was just an honest look at 2016 for Apple. I don't think they're going to crash and burn. I don't think this is the end of Apple's golden era. I think exactly what you think. I think they are hard at work on something new, and it's just not ready yet. And I honestly think we're going to see some amazing products in 2017, not least of which will be the new iPhone 8, which I really am expecting great things in the iPhone 8. I think it's going to be significantly different than what we already have. And I think the rumors are pointing to that same thing. So let's go ahead and move on to our last segment, our conversation about our favorite gadgets of 2016. Man, I love gadgets. And I've used so many gadgets in 2016. Some of them have been fantastic. Some of them have really changed my life, quite honestly. And those are going to be the things that I talk about, are the things that have changed my day-to-day living in a better way. And I'm going to forget all the crap that I've used, of which there has been huge helping portions. Do you guys, how many picks do you guys have? Just one each?
Of what?
Oh, I got gadgets.
I could get two. I got one at least. Two.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah, two.
Okay.
Well, yeah. I know what yours is anyway already.
Yeah, I know. Too easy to guess.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe some people don't know. I think most people will be able to pick what mine is as well. So some of my stuff has been made in 2016. Some of it actually has not been manufactured in 2016. It's just new to me in 2016. So let me start with something that I acquired in 2016 that I fell in love with, but I think actually came out in 2015. This is my Fuji X-T1 camera.
Oh, nice.
Man,
yeah.
One of the best cameras I have ever owned. It takes phenomenal pictures. And the JPEGs that come out of this camera are perfectly color balanced. The color is accurate. The exposure is oftentimes spot on. If you want to have a camera just to take about you in your day-to-day life, if you take pictures of your friends and family, this is probably the camera I would recommend to you. There's also an updated version of this camera that came out this year, the Fuji X-T2, which I haven't gotten my hands on, but the T1 now is even less expensive. You can get it for like $800.
Yeah.
I just am continually surprised by this camera. I have a 5D Mark III. I prefer this over that. I have a Canon 80D. I prefer the X-T1 over that. A 70D. I prefer the Fuji over that. It's just because it's lightweight. It's easy to take with you everywhere. And the image quality continues to surprise me. It's just a powerhouse of a little camera. It's fun to use. And it's completely changed the way I do photography, because now instead of, you know, putting all my pictures into Lightroom and manually editing all of them, which I was constantly procrastinating on doing and so getting behind, I just pop out my SD card, put it in my my MacBook Pro, because my MacBook Pro still allows me to do that, and just import everything into Photos, and I'm done. And my photos look great. In fact, oftentimes I find that if I were to edit the photos in Lightroom, I could probably make them look like 5 or 10% better, but it's just not worth my time, because the camera creates such beautiful JPEGs every single time. It just saves me a ton of time. So that's going to be my pick. You can get the X-T1, as I mentioned, body only for like $800. You'll have to get a lens as well, but you can buy kits and get it for like maybe even $1,000. So they're really, as far as mirrorless cameras go, they're really inexpensive right now. Also, there's an iPhone app that you can use to control the camera. So you can take pictures of yourself or your family without having to like be behind the camera or set a timer or anything like that. So it's got some cool tech built in.
People are loving it, aren't they? What's the difference with the X1 and the X2?
The X2 has more megapixels and more focus points, and it's supposed to be better at high-speed capture. So if you have something running around, well, high-speed capture maybe is not the right way to say that. It's better at focusing quickly. So if you have something that's moving around a lot, like a dog running around or a kid running around or something, it's supposed to be able to grab focus on that more quickly and retain focus better. Because I forget how many focus points the X-T1 has, but I think it's like 70 or 74 or something. Some significant improvements in the X-T2, but the X-T2 is also $1,500. So it's kind of harder to recommend. But I love mine. Leander.
Why don't you let Buster go next?
Buster.
Well, I would say the coolest gadget I got to play with this year was definitely the Mavic Pro drone.
Shoot, should I have led with my coolest gadget? I didn't.
Well, I don't
go
know.
Go ahead. Sorry.
It's my favorite gadget, you know. Uh-huh. Like, I mean, I just love that thing. I take it everywhere. Even, you know, I love it because you can take it places, and sometimes I don't even use it. Like, I took it on like a 2-day hike a couple weekends ago, and it was just too cold to fly, and like, you're not supposed to fly it in this area, so I didn't. But it doesn't, you know, weigh you down. Super easy to fly. Everybody's always super impressed by the thing. It's just like something out of Star Trek. So, I mean, if you're into photography at all or just outdoor stuff, I think it's like the perfect tool for people who want to like, yeah, get cool photos or videos and stuff like that. Yeah, it's just magical. Like, it's
fun to fly too, isn't it? Just a drone in general is fun to fly.
Oh yeah, it is. Like, it's just fun to fly, and like, yeah, you kind of feel like you're just flying around like a video game, and it's super easy to use. I've only crashed it once.
Super fun to crash.
Yeah.
And super easy to use unless there's a cliff.
Yeah,
and then it goes right into it.
Like yesterday, I was trying it following me around on my skateboard, and I didn't crash it. Like, using the auto follow mode, the sensors actually worked, and like they didn't hit.
Is that the electric skateboard that you're testing out?
Yeah,
baller, dude.
So baller. So yeah, it's a sweet friggin' drone, man. Like, the
coolest drone
ever. You
were slowly turning into Casey Neistat.
Oh yeah, that's my goal. Casey Neistat of the West with a beard.
Isn't it of the South?
Well, he's in New York, so.
Because I'm going to be Casey Neistat of the West, dude.
Okay.
I look more like Casey Neistat, too. I'm going to get myself some Ray-Bans and spray paint them white, and then, like, you know, have those cool Casey Neistat glasses.
Be so sweet, man.
Dude, yeah, we should start a crew of just Casey Neistat lookalikes.
Yeah.
Leander, you can join if you get yourself some shades, an electric skateboard, and a drone.
Yeah, all three requirements.
Yeah, we got a drone too. We got a Solo, 3DR Solo. Which
how are you liking that one? You were talking that up.
Yeah, that's an amazing, like, you know, Buster says it's an amazing gadget. But here in the city, it's sort of harder to, you know, it's harder to fly. It's harder to take it out places. Yeah. You know, we haven't been hiking to the wilderness every weekend. And, you know, we have to go somewhere special to go fly in. And to be honest, it's been a bit of a chore. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, they are remarkable. They are remarkable devices. They're really amazing technology. But we haven't, you know, like we were using it initially quite a lot. And then, to be honest, it's been languishing recently just because it's, you know, it's not so easy. You can't just run out and we can't fly it right out of our front door because we're in the city.
Do they have, like, laws or something in there?
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
There's all kinds of, like the FAA, like you're not allowed to fly like 5 miles within an airport. There's like, and also like every like city, like property has like their own rules, which they don't post. And so I've flown it a few times and gotten in trouble for it, like flying it at Camelback Mountain. Like a park ranger came up to me and was like, "You're not allowed to fly that. Take it down." And I was like, oh,
"What?
Sorry, bro.
Make me, bro." And that's when you have it like, like attacking from the air.
Yeah, that'd be funny, wouldn't it? And then you grab hold of its legs and fly off the mountain.
That's right, mm-hmm. Exactly. See you later, sucker. And then, of course, the battery runs out. You plummet 2,000 feet to your death. Okay, Leander, what's your pick?
Yeah, I don't. You know, I was going to pick AirPods, and I was going to pick the Apple Watch, but we've already talked about both of those. And so I was sort of racking my brains, which other devices did I get? I was playing around with the Google Daydream last night. The VR headset.
Oh, it's called the Daydream. I haven't heard of that one.
Yeah, and there's some really pretty cool stuff with that, but it's also strange, you know, having this thing on your head all the time. And I haven't really dug into it yet to really find, you know, something that's been really, really great. And the thing I really wanted to check out was this game by the makers of Monument Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot what it's called. But you can't get it. It's only for the other one, the Oculus VR. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure, you know, like, it has a lot of potential to be a great, great gadget. But, you know, so far I haven't found a really killer app or a killer thing to do. They have these tours of these art museums. And I was zooming in on some of these paintings, and you can go right into the, like, you know, the eye of a portrait, and that's really pretty magical because you can see the cracks in the oil paint and the big dollops of oil paint. So that was kind of special. But then, you know, I looked at a couple of paintings, and I was bored out of my mind. You know, it's even worse than being in a real art museum. Anyway, cut long story short,
it's like being bored in an art museum, except it's virtual.
Yeah,
even better.
If anyone has any suggestions for really good VR,
I played apps. A game. I cannot remember the name of it. It was a Funhouse game. I played it at PAX in August, the Penny Arcade Expo, which is one of the biggest video game conventions in the world. And it was on the HTC Vive. It was immersive. It was fun. You go through this Funhouse, and you don't walk or anything. You just stand there, and it moves you through like you're like on like a coal cart, you know, like in Indiana Jones, like that cart that goes through.
Uh-huh.
You guys don't know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And all these ghosts come out of like the walls and everything, and you have these two guns that you're holding, and you're shooting things in virtual reality. And it was probably one of the best games I played in 2016.
Oh, really? Huh.
Although I can't remember the name of it. It was a 2K game. It was something Funhouse. But then I played another game where you were actually moving around in virtual reality. You were stationary in a chair, but you could control like yourself by running forward and running backward and side to side and stuff. And that game was fun until about 2 minutes in. I started getting a cold sweat, and then I got really nauseous, and I thought I was going to puke. And at the end of the game, I had to sit down. It took me like 30 to 40 minutes to recover, because I felt so nauseous. And I learned that nausea is a big problem with virtual reality, and it's one they still haven't figured out, because a lot of people, in fact, a majority of people, when they play games like that one, when you're moving around left, right, forward, and backward, it does something to your brain, and it makes you sick, and people actually puke. I'm glad I didn't puke all over that guy's computer, because that would have been terrible. So I've played some really compelling VR experiences. There's another one I played on PlayStation, which was like a virtual reality, like real-time strategy game where you're trying to destroy this other guy, this other guy's base. That one was cool. There's games like that where it has a really nice application of VR, and then there's the other games where you're running around and you're like, I'm going to hurl. I don't think I can do this. So I'm kind of curious to see how VR develops, because with so many people getting sick, I kind of wonder if it's ever going to really take off, because it seems really cool until you want to hurl, and then you're I don't want to ever do this again.
There was a lot of hoopla about the PlayStation VR, but then I haven't seen anything about it since then, right? You know, like I haven't seen people really, you know, rhapsodizing or going crazy over it. So
I mean, it's still pretty expensive. I mean, you got to have a PlayStation that's capable of doing VR, so you need like the PlayStation Pro or something, which is, I don't know, $350. I'm not sure exactly what the price is right now, but at least $300. And then you have to buy the PlayStation VR, which is another $300. So I think the price is prohibitive to some people.
It works with the 4, the PlayStation 4, which has got a pretty big install base.
Does it work with the PlayStation 4? Are you sure about that?
Yeah, pretty sure.
So yeah, but you still have to buy the PlayStation VR, you know? It's like, you know, $300.
Yeah,
well,
and then the games on top of that, right?
Yeah, exactly. And there's not a lot of games for it yet, so I think it's just it's early days for VR still, even though it looks like it has promise. Okay, let me
I didn't get my pick.
Yeah, you did. I thought the drone was your pick.
These are all the discussions. This is all the preamble.
I thought the drone was your pick.
No. I'm going to pick the Amazon Echo.
Okay, the Amazon Echo. You still love that thing.
I love that thing. Because it's the one thing I've consistently used, you know, and use it all the time. Mm-hmm. I think it really is, you know, like it's transformative.
So, you know what's interesting is I'm not going to disagree with you. I feel like it has been transformative for me too. I just don't know if I love it. Like it works, and I like using it, and the voice recognition is second to none. It works so well. I wish Siri would work as well as the Echo does. But I don't really find that it does anything critical for me. Like, what are you so enamored by with it?
Well, just for music, playing music, basically. That's what I do with it. And, you know, and asking information. You know, I called out to it the other day, some stupid, I was doing a bunch of calculations, and it's really easy to shout that out, and it works flawlessly. So that was a good use for it. The question is, I think, sort of getting used to it and getting it, you know, realizing that a task, you know, that you could do easier with the Amazon Echo. I can't wait to get a whole bunch of, like, I'm hoping to get some, you know, automation stuff this year and to set that up. Lewis has been getting, you know, a couple of things. He's got some locks and some lights, and he's been playing with HomeKit, and he says it works great, you know, so I'm kind of looking forward to doing that. And the trouble is that everything works with one or the other, which is a pain.
You mean with HomeKit or with the Echo?
Yeah, because I like the Echo. You know, that, like you said, the recognition is I think better than Siri. But
undoubtedly,
The Home app, you know, Lewis is saying was really slick and really nice, really well done. So I'm kind of curious to see, you know, to use Siri for that.
The Home app is one of my favorite things of 2016. People don't generally talk about it. Oh yeah, absolutely. If you have smart devices, HomeKit enabled devices in your house, the Home app, or I should say the HomeKit API, really got a lot more intelligent, or I should say a lot more useful with iOS 10, because now you can control things via the Home app even when you're not on your network. And before, if you wanted to control your Philips Hue lights when you weren't on your network, you had to go to the Philips Hue website, log in, and control stuff from there. And now, as I'm leaving my house, I could tell Echo to turn off the lights and it will do it. Or I can turn my lights on from 100 miles away via the Home app, and it works flawlessly every single time.
That's pretty handy, yeah.
Oh, it's amazing, man. I am living in the house of the future, at least lighting-wise, because, and this is going to be one of my picks as well, is Philips Hue lights. They're like tattoos. I don't have a tattoo, so I hear. But once you get one, you just want to get like 10 more. The Hue lights are amazing, and no one is doing this better than Philips right now. They have a light strip, which I've talked about before, which is this really thin strip of LEDs, which you can churn, you know, zillions of different colors. They have their white lights. They have their whites and color lights, which are just basic, but like LED light bulbs that are daylight, but also can be churned into like a zillion different colors. And all these integrate perfectly with HomeKit, so you can control them via Siri. You can control them via the Home app. You can control them via the Amazon Echo. You can set them so that they turn on automatically as soon as you pull into your driveway, because they can be geofenced, right? So as soon as I get close to my house, my heat comes on because I have a Nest, and my lights turn on because I have the Philips Hue lights. They're amazing, And I think they're the future of lighting. I think all lighting is going to be smart lighting eventually. But if you want to live in the future today, you got to do it with the Philips Hue lights. And now that we have HomeKit and iOS 10, the integration is perfect and it works flawlessly every single time.
Hmm.
Did I sell you on it?
Yeah, you did. But how many bulbs have you got?
Yeah, I only have two three. Myself. Yeah, that's the problem. They come in,
they're expensive. So
yeah, they're
you get
so
the
expensive.
Kits.
So I only have them in my bedroom.
Yeah.
And so then I just use the Hue app myself instead of the Home app. I guess I could use the
You could
the home
use
app.
Yeah, I think the Home app is more intuitive than the Hue app.
Oh really?
App.
Okay.
And then there's another app that I use which I find is more intuitive than the Hue. It's called or the Hue app, it's called Hue Remote or Hue Motes, one word, Hue Motes. And you can use it to control the colors and the on and off functions of your lights. And then I also got a Philips dimmer switch on Amazon for like $20. So you can use this. It's like a little remote control. And you can use it to dim your lights. You can use it to turn your lights on and off so your lights are always on, right? Because you don't want to control them via the lamp. You want to control them via the software so that they're always on. And that's kind of the key to having them work magically. One of my favorite things of 2016. They're amazing. They are expensive, like Buster said. If you get them in a kit, though, you get like three lights and like you have to have the Hue Bridge.
Yeah.
And that allows you to control them. And
it's a couple hundred bucks, isn't it?
Yeah. It's 150 to 200 depending on which version you got. I think they just released version 3. So yeah, they're not cheap, but they're pretty awesome. Okay, Buster, got a second pick for us?
The unique Ego 2 electric skateboard.
Oh, you just got that too.
Dude, I blow people's minds on that thing like every day. Like,
do you put your hand down and then just do like circles, you know, with your skateboard on the outside ring?
No, I'm not that great of a skateboarder. You know, like turns are difficult.
Are you going down the street in full padding?
Oh, no. No way. I've crashed a couple times and got like I got a nice bruise on my hip like 2 weeks ago because I ate it driving down Central Avenue in Phoenix.
How fast were you going?
Top speed. Always top speed. It only goes like,
always top speed. Heine over there.
Yeah. It's 10 to 12 miles an hour. It's not like crazy fast or anything, but
dude, fast enough.
Yeah, it's so much fun. Like just cruising around, like in the city and stuff. Like if I want to go like work at the coffee shop, I just hop on the skateboard and cruise around. People like seriously all the time. Like, oh my God, is that an electric skateboard? That's amazing. Just it's one of the coolest toys I've ever got to play with.
Does it have the hand control like the boosted board does?
Yeah, it's totally got that, and you know you can brake too. You just pull down the throttle to brake, so that's nice.
Does it brake so fast that you go flying off the front?
It can, yeah. I mean, you definitely have to lean back a little bit when you're starting to brake because it can brake pretty quickly, which is nice because I almost get run over by cars all the time, man. Like
that's one of the hardest parts about using a skateboard too. I'm not a skateboarder either, but it's easy to get going. It's hard to stop.
Yeah, like and I'll take my dog with me sometimes and let him do the pulling. And when that happens, it's pretty dangerous because you know he goes way faster than the skateboard can go too, so there's no braking with that puppy.
Yeah, it's like having a horse pull your skateboard, man. Your dog is like 6'2".
It sounds like a lot of fun, though.
Oh, dude, it's so much fun. Like, I like letting people ride it because, you know, people just are like, oh my gosh, this is the coolest, funnest thing, man. Because you just, stand
is
on it,
weather
it
sealed?
And it goes. It's not, so you're not supposed to, like, ride it in the rain or snow or drive it through puddles and stuff.
Yeah,
I've gone over some like small puddles and like wet concrete and haven't had any issues, but so it's been okay. Yeah, and the nice thing about that board is it's one of the cheaper ones. Like the boosted boards cost almost like $2,000 or something.
I think they're between like $1,200 and $2,000.
Yeah, it matters how you spec it out. But this one I think costs like $600, which is still
dang,
it's crazy
affordable.
Expensive. But yeah, but yeah.
Oh man, I want an electric skateboard so bad. I love electronic transportation, like electric cars, electric bikes, electric skateboards, all that stuff. It's so exciting to just be able to charge something up and then be able to use it for like two or three days to get around without having to use your car.
Yep.
That's amazing.
I don't use my car that often unless I'm going out, you know, somewhere far from Phoenix.
you don't want to take your electric skateboard out into the desert.
It probably wouldn't do well.
You're like, what's up, man? Those vultures keep following me. One of them winked at me, licked its lips. Okay, well, Leander, do you have another pick, or do you want me to go again?
Well, I already went through them. Yeah, why don't you go through
okay,
yours?
Okay, that's fine, because it segues into... Oh, my gosh, I just did that. It segues into Buster's pick. My pick is the Segway Mini Pro. The most fun product I used in 2016. It is a powerhouse of a hoverboard, except it's UL listed, so its batteries are safe and aren't going to explode and send shrapnel and battery acid into your arse. It's fun. It's just so much fun to ride around on. It's easy to use. It's easy to drive. In fact, funny enough, when I'm driving this thing, the people that comment on it the most are always like 50 to 60-year-old ladies.
Oh, really?
Like, I don't know if it's because they're comfortable enough approaching me to ask me what I'm doing on it. And so that's why they approach me. But I have been approached at least, you know, 3, 4, 5 times by older ladies wanting to know what it is, how it works. And one lady was so interested in it, I was like, do you want to try it out? And she's like, sure. So I helped this, you know, like 55-year-old lady get onto it. And it was funny. I'm like, we're in the middle of the street. I'm like holding her hands, right? I don't even know this lady. And she started getting the hang of it and, you know, was even driving it around a little bit. That's how easy it is to learn how to drive. I've been learning that it's actually great for people with like issues walking, because they can stand on this thing and then it just takes them around. So it's like an assistive transportative device for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. It goes 10 miles an hour, which doesn't sound fast, but I doubt many of you can run that quick. And well, I guess if you really were hustling,
10 miles
dog,
an hour.
Yeah, if you had a dog chasing you, you could probably go like 14.
Yeah, that's like the boost. The,
I could do 30.
Ego. It's, yeah, 10 miles.
Leader's got quads of steel. He can do 30. He's faster than Usain Bolt. Apparently, doesn't Usain Bolt do like 22 or something?
No, it's 27, 28.
But he's like sprinting for 200 meters.
Yeah,
running 6 miles in an hour is solid for me if I get that. So.
6 miles in an hour?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
No, it's not that good. It's just a decent pace.
That's better than me, for sure.
But yeah.
I do like 1 mile in 6 hours. That's my ratio. And I'm exhausted at the end.
So how many of you use your Segway? What do you do on it? Do you take it down to the store?
I just take it around my neighborhood. If I lived in a place where there were more shops and more restaurants and that type of thing, I would probably use it as everyday transportation more often. Mm-hmm. For me, I use it to walk my dog. There's a grocery store nearby. I might use it to go to the grocery store or the post office or something. It's like the skateboard. Unfortunately, you can use it in damp weather, but it's not weather sealed to the point where you could use it in rain or in puddles or anything like that. So you kind of have to limit how much you can use it when there's inclement weather. And also, I live in Seattle, you know, so it's like pretty much the whole winter is pretty much out for me. You're also not supposed to use it if it's icy, because there's only two wheels. So I just use it around my neighborhood, and it's just fun to drive. It's like the skateboard. It's not something that you need, but once you have one, it's so much fun to use that you find you're looking for reasons to use it.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I'm sure you are too, right, Buster?
No, dude, sometimes I'll just be like, I'm going out to just ride, like, and I'll go to like the big Indian Steel School Park in Phoenix and just roll around and stuff, just, you know,
totally
gets you out more.
And the Mini Pro, when it launched, it was $1,000, and now it's $600. And actually, you could find them used on Amazon, because, you know, the people that return them, Amazon marks those down, so you can get them for between $500 and $550 now on Amazon. I know it's not cheap, but if you got the coin, it's a super fun gadget. It's definitely the most fun gadget I used this year, and I would recommend it enthusiastically to anyone. Let me pimp one more gadget, if I may. Unless you have something else, Buster. Do you have anything else?
Not really.
Okay.
I would say my Sony camera. You were saying
the RX100?
Yeah, that's like been my go-to camera this whole year. So
you've been using
awesome.
That for what, like 6 months to a year now?
Yeah, almost 6 months now. Which, I mean, it's stupid expensive, but it's like the coolest camera if you're into just, you know, taking whatever pics and you want something a little bit better than the iPhone that's not bulky. Kind of like you're saying with the X-T1. You know, it's just nice to have a super small camera that's great.
Yeah, I mean...
What kind of camera is it, Buster? It's not a point-and-shoot, is it?
Yeah, it is a point-and-shoot. That's the only drawback is I wish, you know, you could swap out the lens so you could get, like, a wide angle and stuff like that. But it's got, like, a zoom lens and everything, so it's okay.
I heard that the Phantom 4 Pro has the same sensor as that camera.
The Phantom 4 has the same as the Sony? Nice.
The Sony RX100, yeah.
I like that. Dude, I like the sensor. It's not, you know, the biggest or the best sensor, but it gets the job done.
Well, I mean, it's a point and shoot.
Yeah, exactly. So. You're not expecting, you know, phenomenal pictures, but it definitely is impressive.
Yeah, and if you want something better than the iPhone 7 takes great pictures for a phone.
Yeah.
But, of course, a real camera almost always blows it away, especially because the sensor size on the iPhone is just so small. So the RX100 is one of Buster's picks. How much did you say that one was, Buster?
It's like $1,000. I think it's cheaper now because they released the new model with like some other stuff. So
I'll link to all this stuff in the show notes too. My final pick. We're kind of going all over the place with these picks, but it's a surprise pick. So you know, who reached out to me and asked me if I wanted to take a look at their product was Philips again. They wanted to know if I wanted to try out their new Sonicare. There's a new Sonicare out called the Sonicare FlexCare Platinum Connected. And it's a Bluetooth toothbrush, to which I rolled my eyes severely, so much so I think I sprained something, and my eyeballs were stuck looking to the upper left for at least a day. But I gotta say, this is the best toothbrush I have ever used in my entire life. I have probably used, I don't know, 4 iterations of the Sonicare now. I've tried the Oral-B. Of course, manual toothbrushes. And I have never had a toothbrush clean my teeth as well as the new Sonicare FlexCare Platinum Connected. Boy, it's even hard to say that. And it's got a cool feature on it that I thought was going to be a gimmick at first, but turns out to actually be somewhat useful, especially if you've never owned an electric toothbrush before, which if you haven't, I highly recommend getting one because they clean your teeth so much better than manual toothbrushes do. So the toothbrush handle has Bluetooth in it, and it connects to the Sonicare app, which you can get on the App Store. It's free. You boot up the app, you turn on the toothbrush, and the app will actually walk you through proper toothbrushing technique. And it will tell you if you're pressing too hard. It will tell you if you're moving around the toothbrush too fast. And at the end, it gives you a little report, and it tells you what areas of your mouth you cleaned well and what areas of your mouth you need to focus on for longer. So the reason this is useful is because it teaches you better technique. And I don't know, when was the last time you had someone evaluate your toothbrushing skills, right? I mean, probably your dentist when you were like 6. And after that, you just kind of do it yourself, and no one ever helps you learn how to do it properly. So I have found that the tips that it gave me actually were useful, and I have adapted those tips into my toothbrushing habits. And now I don't even use the app anymore, honestly, because I feel like I kind of got everything from it that it had to give me. But now I feel like I'm a better toothbrusher. Like if we had a toothbrush off, Buster, I would destroy you.
Oh, damn.
And the dentist would be like, oh my gosh, look how minty fresh his breath is.
Look at Buster's nasty British.
Buster is
teeth.
Like Austin Powers 2.0. It's not a cheap device. It's about $180 on Amazon. Of course, you can get it a little bit less expensive. You don't want the UV disinfecting gadget they sent along with it. You can just get the toothbrush handle. And I should also say the toothbrush itself, the actual brush that goes on the handle that they sent me, is a big part of it. I think this is one of Sonicare's newer brush designs, and it works extremely well, and it probably would work well on your handle as well if you already have a Sonicare. And I'll link to the actual brush itself.
Yeah, what's it called?
In the show notes. But the entire package is called the Sonicare FlexCare Platinum Connected. And I'll link to that as well as to the
brush. You don't think it's a gimmick? 'Cause I read about this and I thought it was a gimmick. You don't think it's a gimmick?
I don't think it's a gimmick, and that's exactly what I thought. That is exactly what I thought when I read the press release. I was like, dude, no one needs Bluetooth in their toothbrush. And honestly speaking, I don't think this is for everyone. You may not need the Bluetooth capabilities, and you may only use them temporarily like I did just to kind of get some tips, and then you'll never use it again. But regardless of the Bluetooth app, the toothbrush itself has a bunch of modes that you can use to control the sensitivity and the power of the actual brushing experience. And all the modes on it are actually useful, because I've had Sonicare's before where I didn't find the modes to actually be something that I would use. And I like the design of the handle. I like the button layout. I like the modes that are included in the handle itself. I think they made a really great product. And no, I don't think it's a gimmick. Although the usefulness will vary from person to person. I don't think this is something that everyone needs or something that everyone will use long term. But even if you don't use the app, you're left with a great toothbrush. As I said, it cleans better than any toothbrush I have ever used ever. I mean, it's like, you know, like that feeling that your teeth have after you have gone to the dentist and they're just absolutely clean. There's nothing on your teeth at all. I get that every single time I use this toothbrush. And my breath is just minty fresh, and everyone tells me that. And every time I smile, I have one of those one of those little glimmers. It's like ding. That everyone's impressed by.
Cool.
Yeah, to put a bounce in my step.
All right, I'm gonna
sparkle
in
my teeth.
Check these out to brush my last remaining tooth.
Your one tooth is going to look so good, Leander. It is going to be sparkling clean.
Yeah. I don't want it to. Yeah, it's going to make it look even stand out even more.
Well, it will look a little strange next to your wood teeth. So maybe you should just stick with manual brushing. And you know what I just realized? I think we lost Buster.
Did you just skateboard off into the...
Yeah, I heard him playing around with his drone. So maybe he accidentally started it and it started attacking him and cut off his internet connection. That's fine. You know, we're done anyway. We have nothing else to say.
I'll have one more pick.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, one more pick. Oh, well, nice. I'll keep it quick.
Okay, no, go for it.
All right, so I would say that one of the best gadgets I got this year was the new Eero Wi-Fi system.
Right.
That was that. You know, it comes in a system now. You get a pack of three, so three little routers. One you plug into your modem. The other two you put in different parts of your house, and it uses mesh networking to create this big envelope of seamless Wi-Fi. Mm-hmm. And it really has been fantastic. It's so much better than using like a single base station. Before I was using a Apple Time Capsule, which I think is great in itself, and does the backup stuff is always fantastic. But this Luma stuff is really great. Yeah, I'm sorry, the Eero. But then I started testing Luma, which is actually like a couple of $100 cheaper. Very similar concept, comes in a pack of three. Has a slightly different set of features. I would say the Luma, probably, if you want to save money, is as good as the Eero. The Eero has a slightly better interface. It's slightly slicker, and I have a feeling that they're going to be turning out more software updates. Probably, it seems as though, you know, they're a little better on the software. Mm-hmm. Eero than Luma, but they're very, very similar. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to recommend one over the other. Except, you know, so if price is, you know, if you're sensitive to price, then the Luma is a lot cheaper. So I'd recommend that one.
I've also been hearing good things about the, I think it's called the Arlo, the Netgear Arlo. Have you heard anything about that one?
Netgear just sent a couple for me to test, and I haven't had a chance to put them through their paces yet. So,
oh, really? They sent you some of those? You lucky duck. Netgear.
It's Orbi.
Oh, the Orbi.
The Netgear one is the Orbi.
Is that the one you got?
Yeah.
A Wi-Fi system for better Wi-Fi everywhere. Yeah, that's it. The Netgear Orbi. That's the one that I heard is, as far as speed goes, the absolute best right now.
Okay. Well,
are you going to do any speed tests?
Yeah, I'll try. Yeah, for sure. I can definitely try the speed test. The speed test is kind of tricky, though, isn't it? Because, you know, how do you... You've got to factor out the speed of your modem, you know, the speed of your connection.
And yeah,
we have a crazy fast connection. We use Comcast cable, and you know we've been getting 230 to 250 megabits a second.
Holy moly, from Comcast?
Yeah, it's mad. But then you know, like you try a different time of day, and it can drop down to about sort of 70, 80. And of course, depending on what people are doing in the house, you know, I checked these new systems let you tell you how many devices you have connected. to your Wi-Fi. And I couldn't believe it. There's 70 devices in our house.
Holy moly.
And
that is insane.
Right. I thought it was two. I think what it might do, though, it might remember 70. I've got to double check because I think it might be 70 devices, like, historically. So it's not 70 devices connected simultaneously. So when my brother comes over and he connects his iPhone, you know, I think that's recorded, and my mom and so on and so forth. So, it's a lot of devices. So, I ask these people, like, how do I test the speed? How do I test the speed of the Wi-Fi? Mm-hmm. With, you know, how do you factor out the speed of the connection? And they couldn't give me a good answer. So if anyone knows how to do that, I'd love to hear from them.
There was an app that you want an app that will allow you to test the speed between two different pieces of hardware on your network. That's the best way to do it. Like, you don't want to factor in your internet at all, because that's going to be a bottleneck, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
So, and I think there are apps on the App Store that allow you to do that. There was one that I was using for a while that I can't remember the name of because it's been a while. But it tested the speed between two devices that you have on your network.
Yeah. All right. Well, if you know that, definitely let me know.
Yeah. I'll see if that's still a thing. In any case, yeah, I'm curious to hear what you think, because I've heard good things about the Eero and the Luma or the Lumo.
Luma. Luma, L-U-M-A, yeah.
But I've seen several people say the Orbi has become the king of these, like, mesh networks. So I'm kind of curious to see how well those work as well.
Yeah, I think it's a tri-band, and I think it uses a separate band for the mesh network itself.
Exactly. That's exactly it. Yeah, so it just has more bandwidth to pump out to your 70-plus ridiculous amount of familial gadgets. Right.
Yeah. And they look industrial. They look heavy duty. I mean, they're really pretty big units.
And I heard that if you look at the top as you're using one, you can see those little heat waves coming off of it. It just gets smoking hot. That's normal. Don't worry.
Okay, great.
You can cook a sausage on the top of it. Alrighty, well, let's go ahead and wrap it up there. That's all the Cultcast we have for you this year, but we'll be back in 2017, and of course, next year we'll jump into, I should say next episode, we'll jump into our expectations for what we hope Apple will do and what we expect them to do. Well, more what we hope they'll do. That's all the Cultcast we have for you guys this week. If you want to come say hi to us on Twitter, we would love to hear from you. I'm at Airfun, Buster's BST3R. Leander is L. Caney. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all year long. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys. I'm just going to milk this. I'm just going to milk it. Next year. See you guys next year. Oh my gosh. It feels like it's been a year since I've seen you guys. That's what I'm going to say next week. I'm going to break out every dad joke there is.
Right. At least you get a tickle.
Yeah, I mean, only one, apparently.
'Bout all my amazing ideas I threw into the thread there?
I did. I put yours in. Your AirPod experience, and then all the ways Apple disappointed us in 2016. And then I was gonna go from that into some are saying Apple's golden age is drawing to a close.
Okay. Yeah, that's a bit of a tired old... That wasn't a very good idea. You shouldn't have used that one.
Really? Yeah. I liked that one.
What about my idea? Oh, that idea sucked.
You're having buyer's remorse there. What about my ideas? You mean those two? Oh, those are terrible. Don't use those.